towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Again, we're reading from Sufi Message Volume 6 on the Alchemy of Happiness, and this is the section on deeper life, the inner life. And Murshid says, an icon says of this, when we consider life deeply, we can divide it into two parts and call one the lighter side of life and the other the deeper side of life. The importance of both these sides may at times seem equally significant, but then there are other moments which in life, perhaps after suffering or a loss of some kind or some experience, when a person suddenly awakens to a different realization of life. And when one is awakened to the deeper side of life, seems to have more importance than the lighter side of life. So here we're talking about something that I think is very significant about being in touch with this deeper part of our lives, the inner life, and being able to see things from a more profound or philosophical point of view, not just the surface of things. And we'll hear more about this through Murshid's words. Another bowl of sake that kind of emphasized this teaching about a kind of suffering or a shift that occurs, that we would suddenly see things differently. It says, every blow in life pierces the heart and awakens our feeling to sympathize with others. And every swing of comfort lulls us to sleep and we become unaware of all. So think of that. I mean, perhaps there have been moments in your life, there certainly have been in mine, where something took me to the depths of my being. And I know so many of you here, I've known you for decades. We've been spiritual friends and companions on the path. And we have all gone through sudden shifts, the death of a loved one, you know, maybe trouble in the family, something happened, certainly COVID. And it makes us just more sensitive. And at the same time, when we look at the world around us, maybe it's not in that same place and we feel there's a lot of merriment and gaiety going on around us and we feel really out of sync with that. But yet we're in a real deep place with what we're going through. Illness can do that for us. The illness of a loved one. Some of you understand that very well. So I just want you to realize, and Murshid is telling us this, that these times are also very precious, and to be allow ourselves to go deeply into them and to experience them can be very awakening and aid in our spiritual development. Murshid also says, therefore, I would suggest a way. It is a way of esotericism, which means on the one hand studying, on the other hand practicing, and also meditating, doing these three things. So he talks about first study. One may ask, what should one study? And you might find this interesting. There are two kinds of study. One kind of study by reading teachings of the great thinkers and by the study of metaphysics, psychology, and mysticism, which are sources, of course, all the subjects one would study in the tariqahs of various Sufis. This is the school, metaphysics, psychology, mysticism. But there's another kind of study, and Murshid gives great emphasis to this. He says, every day we have an opportunity for study, but it should be a correct study. We should read human nature. We should read human nature. He says, it's always before us, and people are coming and going. And so studying and looking into this helps us develop something inside our being. He says, we would begin to read human beings as they were letters written with the divine pen. So this is something very deep here. Letters written with the divine pen. We're not talking about occultism or psychic abilities. We're talking about penetrating insight here. And we're also not talking about invading someone's privacy and innermost being, but rather that we create a deep sympathy, a sympathetic vibration, we might say, that helps us develop a better understanding. Maybe not even a word is said, but our atmosphere can change and uplift people. He says that that again, these letters can be written with a divine pen, and they speak of people's past and future. And there's great value in that. We can see and understand from the past, but also give grace and prayer towards that future. We should look deeply at the heavens and the earth, and also at nature and at all things, Murshid says. It can be seen in everyday life, and reflect upon them with a desire to understand life better. There's from the prayer. May I know and understand life better. These metaphysical phrases from the prayers come to life in this teaching. And this kind of study, he says, this kind of penetrating insight, this thoughtfulness, this kind of looking beyond the surface, this kind of study is incomparably superior to the study of books. The second thing is practice, as Murshid said. And these are the practices of yogis and Sufis in the East that have performed for many, many years, and they've transmitted these teachings for thousands of years from themselves to students. The students become teachers and so on. Just that initiatic chain as we have in our tradition. And this transmits from teacher to student ways of standing, ways of sitting, ways of breathing, ways of being silent, ways of relaxing, ways of concentrating, of feeling inspired, joyful, and more peaceful. And of course, such practices help. They require the help of the teacher. The teacher has a little more experience and can help you along the way, show the way. Then the third thing is through meditation. Murshid is an interesting one. This isn't necessarily just sitting in silence. Murshid says that this is everyday life, meditating in everyday life, you know, like looking into life. So the principles that one esteems in life and esteems in the teachings, this is an ideal that we uphold, and it's held in our heart, and we practice this in life. Of course, yes, it's good to have a solitary practice, but then how do we make it alive in our lives? And these things and many others, such as one's attitude towards others, one's manner with others, and everything one does, trying to bring that mindfulness to it. It's not always easy. It can shift like that, but it can shift right back like that. So all these things help in our development. And finally, we would, God willing, we arrive at a stage where we have a insight into the deeper side of life, a kind of mindfulness. Now, I'd like to do a practice here that kind of highlights these what we're talking about, just seeing and hearing and experiencing in a different way than maybe just the most material way with our senses, what's beyond that. So the practice is Yasami Yabasir. And some of you maybe have been given this practice by your teacher. I know Murshid Avira gave it to me. There was a one point in my development and training where, you know, I was seeing things, I was hearing things, they were fantastic, you know. She just said to me, so what? What does it mean? And then she gave me this practice so that I could develop more insight. Because one can get very fascinated with aspect of their development, but it could actually be a distraction, so we don't want to get stopped there. We want to develop real insight. So this practice, I can see it so clearly. She sent it to me on a postcard, and I can see her writing. And as I had said many times, she only would give me the words. I never got the meaning. And there weren't books and internet then, so she really made me try to figure it out on my own, which was a good study in and of itself. So the practice is Yasami Yabasir. So Sami is to hear God's signs and to hear all sounds as sacred. All sounds as sacred. I remember living in India with my Rinpoche at the monastery. Oh, gosh. You know, India always is growing and moving. They're building, tearing things down. There's lots of noise. And I could, sometimes it could be a, you know, a distraction. And he said to me, Nuria, don't let it be a distraction. See, hear all things as the manifestation of the mantra of your meditational deity. How does that change everything? We hear the lawnmower, the weed eater, and we're distracted. You know, it's too loud, whatever. Hear all things as the manifestation of your practice, of your wazifa, of your of Allah, of la ilaha illallah. In my instance, it was Om Tare Tu Tare Tu E Soha Tara practice. But he also said, see all things, not just the beautiful things, but see all things as the manifestation of the deity's body. So then everything becomes transformed. So this is an aspect of Yasami, is the hearing, so that we hear all sounds as sacred. And the essence of the sound is discovered in the heart. It's like the ears of the heart. This is what we're talking about. The ears of the heart, the mystical ears, the sound beyond sounds, and transforming all sounds into those sacred sounds. See if you can practice that in everyday life. There's another everyday life practice. The other aspect of this Yasami, the hearing, and Yabasir is the seeing. So this is, while Sami is the ear of the heart, Basir is the eye of the heart. So it's divine seeing, so that everything we see we can see it both sides, from the inside out and the outside in. And it gives us this feeling of a kind of interconnectedness. Back to Yasami, this is so important because, you know, often we only listen to the words that people are telling us. But that's a very material way. What if we could listen deeper than that? I'm not talking about reinterpreting or interpreting someone. That's different. That can be a kind of projection. But this kind of listening, where you see the intention, or you feel or hear, they're saying this one thing, but it really means another thing. This is especially those of you that are teachers. You know you have to develop this. You have to develop this kind of hearing and seeing. I remember one day, again, I taught college, and there was a student. She was a very pleasant person most of the time. This one day, she was extremely hateful. And I thought, my God, I'm not sure what's going on here. And I tried not to react. When we all took a break and I sent the students to work in the studio, I said, well, you want to go take a walk and have a cup of tea together? I said, what's going on with you? And she began to cry and cry. And she was angry, but there was something hurting her inside, and giving her the opportunity to talk about it helped her release that, and also made her aware that someone cared about her. So this is what I'm talking about. It's trying to not react to what's happening before us, but to see if there's something beyond that. So anyway, it's a small example, and I won't go into any more details there, but I want to work with this practice, and then I have a little bit more I want to share, and then we have a great gift that's happening at the end. So we're going to do this as an abbreviated practice, but as you know, the practices are given, at least as I was instructed, to say them aloud. Don't have to yell, but to say them softly aloud 34 times, and then another 34 times on a whisper, and then 34 times just on the breath, and maybe in some ways losing the word altogether, but just feeling the atmosphere. So we're gonna kind of intone. It'll be like this. Yasami, Yabasir. We'll just do it 11 times. I'll count. And then we'll take the next instruction after that. So let's begin together. And remember, focusing on the heart, eyes and ears of the heart, the inside and the outside, where do those meet? Think of that while we're doing the practice. Yasami Yabasi 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 Yasami Yabasi. And now, with a whisper, we're going to draw in the breath, saying, we let go of the ya, that honorific term, and we just say the wazifa in a very intimate way, in a whisper, the sacred word. So we breathe in. We're going to breathe in both words. And then we're going to exhale both words. So begin with me. And now just breathing in Sami Basir and out Sami Basir, but more than the words. Feel the opening. Request the opening of one's vision and one's hearing to see all sights and to hear all sounds as coming from the divine. And that we not be deluded by external circumstances. Yasami Yabasir. And then Murshid goes on in this teaching to say, it is our happy disposition, our favorable attitude towards others, our desire to be kind, friendly, and sociable, which alone makes us understand one another. Our desire to be kind, friendly, and sociable, which alone makes us understand one another, and which will help us to make one another happy. It brings us still closer together. when we consider the life of a community, a nation, a race, even the whole world, what is it? Mercer describes it as a large ship on which we all are traveling, whether knowingly or unknowingly, all moving and all changing. And to those that have an attunement to Buddhism, we would say this means we are all dependent upon each other. We're all interconnected with one another. And because things are always moving and changing, everything's impermanent. And this is very important to remember, because we tend to get fixed on things, that we can get fixed on our moods even, and we get fixated on a feeling or an emotion or a circumstance. It doesn't have anything to do with reality. We have to look beyond that. We have to be patient, wait for things to change, because they will. Murshid says, in order to realize life, it's not necessary for us to follow a certain religion, and it's not necessary for us to be great or even good or pious or even spiritual. The first and most necessary thing is that we become observant. Look at life more keenly, more deeply. At summer school one year, I gave a talk on this. If you're interested, you could probably go to our website, sufi-message.org, and it was on penetrating wisdom and insight. Just Murshid gives very elaborate teachings on this subject about becoming observant, using our penetrating wisdom and insight. It's like the wisdom mind. They call it the wisdom mind in Buddhism. So we can see things clearly and not react to them. So he says the first and foremost thing is to become more observant. And when we look at life in this way, we can see things more keenly. And the deeper we look into life, the more it unfolds itself, allowing us to see more keenly. Life is revealing. It's not only human beings that speak to us. If only the ears could hear, even the plants and the trees and all of nature speak, in a sense that nature reveals its secret. This is why the yogis go to the forest. This is how the ragas develop, listening to the animals and the sounds of the leaves and the wind. It's all there. And those of us that have studied, and I know you all have, and you've all heard this, this is the third Sufi thought. There's one holy book, the sacred manuscript of nature, the only scripture which can enlighten the reader. So in this way, tuning, we have to become a little bit less of ourselves, don't we? We have to let that fall away a bit to tune in. But in this way, we communicate with the whole of life. And then we're never alone. And then life becomes rich and full and worth living. Ya Sami, Ya Basir. Now, Gemma, I'm going to ask you, can you pin yourself? There you are.
I can't pin myself, but you were able to pin.
Yes, but I'm not able to record, and I'm very sorry about that. I think I just entered through the wrong... I think I entered through the website and not through my Zoom. So we won't be able to, but maybe I'll take a screenshot of you. Because I want to show your picture, because it's so beautiful. Okay. I've asked Gemma, and we always call her Gemma, but you should know she's a Khalifa. She was given that initiation by Murshid Hidayat, and she certainly deserves it. I would say that her work behind the scenes and in front of the scenes with me is that of a Khalifa. She supports our community in so many ways. And I've asked her to join me and to lead a singing practice, but I'll let her talk about that and introduce that for herself. But I wanted to explain to you how I see Gemma. She's very precious to me. There's a term in Buddhism, and it's called Kalyana Mitra. Kalyana Mitra. And Gemma is my Kalyana Mitra. You may be saying, what the hell does that mean, Nuri? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a beautiful story by Buddha and his attendant, his closest attendant, Ananda. And as was the habit, they had been together for many years. They would often sit together alone and communicate. And Ananda, at this stage of their relationship, felt comfortable to share things openly with his teacher, Buddha. And he said, Ananda said to Buddha, dear respected teacher, it seems to me that half the spiritual life is good friendship and good companionship. And the Buddha, to his surprise, rebuked him and said, not so, Ananda. Good friendship and good companionship is the entire spiritual life. When a person is a good friend and a good companion, they will develop and cultivate, along with you, the noble spiritual path. And you know, as I said in the beginning, we've all been traveling this path together. I think of you all as my Kalyana Mitra. And if we thought of ourselves as that for others, then we will always be, the true meaning of this word, these words is, we're virtuous spiritual friends. And this is so, so important. And that's what spiritual community is. And the Buddha went on to say, it's not just someone that we sort of know or hang out with. He probably didn't use hang out, but you know what I'm saying. He said it's a virtuous friend that can uplift us, sustain us, and gently encourage us along the spiritual path. And I think in our community, we are all that for each other. But I know Gemma has been that for me for more than 35 years, and we've known each other, you can do the math, not quite half our lives, but almost. So I want to thank you, Gemma, for Khalifa Gemma, for being my Kalyana Mitra and my virtuous friend and my very longtime companion. And now I'm going to ask you to take the floor.
And you're making me cry.
That's a good thing.
I believe I was sent to Kansas City. This seeking heart was sent to Kansas City to meet Nuria. And she truly is a gift of God in my life. And, you know, from our earliest days of knowing each other, you have been an inspiring friend. And along the way, I recognized she was also an inspiring guide in my inner life. She was just naturally that. And she is a Murshida of light whose enthusiasm led my heart home to the Sufi message of Hazrat Inayat Khan. So now I hope I can speak. I might need a tissue. Nuria has generously shared her spiritual path and journeys with me. And many, many, many experiences that I could not imagine, and extraordinary blessings have come to my life through her. And one of those very treasured blessings was meeting Murshid Hidayat and being in his presence. For me, Murshid Hidayat was a most natural person. And he was an example of living the Sufi message in daily life. It was like witnessing a union of spirituality and practicality. And so he was really, you know, I think of his mastery comes to mind. And when I would be in his presence, this mastery would come through him, but in such an unpretentious way. And he was a master of sound and vibration as a musician and a composer, and also as a practitioner of the breath and Sufi practice. And through this, one of his gifts to us is the singing wazifas. Our Sufi brother, Jalaluddin Sil, who resides in Canada, was very important person involved in making the singing wazifas of Murshid Hidayat musically published for us so that we might share this practice together. And so I want to offer our gratitude to Murshid Hidayat and to Jalaluddin Sil that makes it possible for us to share this practice together today. Murshid Hidayat ascribed the element air to the practice Ya Sami Ya Basir, which we will sing in this case. It also begins with a concentration at the crown. So, as we sing Ya Sami Ya Basir, we begin at the crown and observe that the direction of the melody descends. So as the melody descends, experience the vibration of the sound traveling through this internal channel of your body. This inner channel is the instrument of God. And remember, God is in the vibration of the sound we are tuning to and vibrating with that sound of God. As the melody descends, carry that vibration into the deep heart. Now, that deep heart might be just below this gao, which is probably, you know, good that I wore it because it gives you some indication because you might not be able to see where that is. But Pura Murshid described this area as just above the navel and below the physical heart. So it's in the solar plexus region, the deep heart. So we're carrying that sound into our deep heart. Ya Sami, our hearing is turning inward. Ya Basir, our sight is turning inward. In Pura Murshid's words, speak to me from within, my Lord. The ears of thy servant are listening. And we might add, the eyes of thy servant are witnessing. Then from this deep heart, the melody and the sound vibration of Ya Sami Ya Basir ascends. So feel that vibration ascend along the inner channel of this instrument of God through the heart center, to the throat center, to the third eye, and returning to the crown. Feel that vibration tickling and activating these centers. That vibration is working on every little cell within our being, awakening the inner perception. Feel this inner atmosphere and allow it to radiate from these centers into the outer atmosphere. Listen and witness. Yasami Yamasir. Now, it's important you're muted, but it's also important that you sing along with me because, well, to experience the practice, one actually has to sing. And it helps me to know I have the support of all your voices as well. And further, if you have any difficulty with the melody, no concern, you can sing it on one note. Tone it on one note of this chord, and it will certainly have the effect as well. God becomes the ear through which one hears, and the eye through which one sees. Yasami.
Yasami, Yasami, Yasami.
Why have I two ears, if not to hear thy gentle whisper? Why have I two eyes, if not to behold thy glorious vision? Why have I a heart, beloved, if not to make it thy sacred Yasami, Yabasi.
Murshid Hidayat reminded me that his father would say, the student makes the murshid. So thank you, Gemma, because you're a really amazing and beautiful example of that which Murshid Hazrat and Icon said, and what Murshid Hidayat conveyed to me. I say that to you. The student makes the murshid. Thank you. Beautiful. So, if you may take away anything, take away these sacred words with the intent that whatever is going on around one, whatever vision one is seeing, whatever one's hearing, seeing, to ask, what is the impulse of the divine behind all of it? Look into the deeper side of life. This is a refuge. This is a refuge. In your breath, make it an ardent prayer that if there was anything from this time together that is of benefit, that it'll spread in ever-widening circles so that the vibration may be experienced by all those that need grace and mercy, divine hearing, divine seeing, divine love, divine presence. We offer this time your loving attention and presence, Khalifa Gemma's beautiful offering. All of this we offer to all the holy beings and to all sentient beings and all of nature and all of the atmosphere forever and ever. Amen.